and he was bright red like a tomato.
But when I was watching that gymnastic competition, there was kids, 4 years old, 5 years old, and I wanted them to fall off the balance beam.
Yeah, I don't want to open the door and have a dog jump up at me. I don't want that. Stop it. For God's sake, maracas, stop yourself.
Welcome to the Fun Dad Dean and Wife Unfiltered Podcast. I'm Dean, I'm here with my wife Sarah, and we started this podcast to give a true representation of parenting.
It's a little bit different and exciting for us today because we are filming in Cardiff. We are actually in the middle of our 2 week Easter caravan holiday, but we decided to still go ahead with the podcast because we're only on number 3, but the response has been great so far, so thank you everyone. And also it meant that in the middle of our 2 week holiday with the kids, we get a little break from the kids. So yeah, sit back and relax and enjoy the ride.
So yeah, thanks for listening, and if you're new here, we love to hear your thoughts and feedback on the podcast. We've had some of your amazing feedback so far. Keep them coming. We do love a debate.
Love a debate. Like, even if you disagree with something we say, or you feel like you want to jump in and give your opinion, jump in and give it, because we love to hear what everyone else thinks too. So, right, Dean, what have we been up to since the last show? So they're fortnightly. So what have we done in the last 2 weeks that is of remote interest?
So we went to London with the kids, which went to a restaurant in London, didn't we, with the kids, which we
It was on the last day of term, wasn't it? So it was the last day of term for the kids. And, you know, they finished that a bit earlier, which normally I find really great and really helpful because we normally just pack the car up and go to the caravan. But yeah, they finished early and I had to get them ready for this meal in London. And I don't know why, I just found it really stressful.
Yeah, you were like, on the way up there.
Getting them done, getting their hair done, and then making sure that they had coats for the tube and coats for the train. What was the weather going to be like? Is it going to be raining? And I was stressed before we even left. But, you know, it was good in the end, wasn't it?
But I was kind of, I'm not normally the calm parent in those situations, am I? But on the way up there, I was looking at you and I was like, oh my God, she's going to erupt any minute here. Because Ruby kept jumping all over you and I was like, I had to be the calm one at that point.
It was just on the train. Like, I don't know, it's real big paranoia on the train. Like, they need to be quiet and they need to sit down on their seats. But also, I get they're excited. So I'm like, look out the window, like trying to make them really excited. And Ruby was just climbing all over me and like jumping around the train and falling off the seat and just being like, oh, really annoying. And I was worried for the other passengers.
But do you know when we got onto the tube, I looked around and I didn't see one other kid. It was packed, wasn't it? Like, because we went rush hour,
yeah.
London. It was a Thursday, wasn't it? And I remember looking around and there wasn't one other kid under about 13. And I remember thinking to myself, nobody brings their kids on the tube, do they?
Not in rush hour. No. I mean, I don't know why I just found it so stressful. I mean, you kind of know in your head they're old enough. Like, they know better. They're not going to, like, run on the tracks. But you're there with these, like, intrusive thoughts, thinking, like, what if they fall on the tracks? Like, oh, my God, what if they get taken? Are they all right? Are they going to lose them on the crowd? And, like, another thing I kept thinking on the tube was, like, when the doors, like, you know, when they close, I was thinking, what if we leave one on the train and then we're on the platform or the other way around? Oh, things were going through my head.
But Ruby's well scatty as well, isn't she? She was, like, running around on the platform and you just don't know what she's going to do next almost.
It's not that she was running around, Dean. I feel like that's an unfair picture to paint.
Not running around, but she was trying to sort of get away from us.
Yeah, she was just like fidgeting. But I don't know. I suppose I was overthinking. I was feeling really bad about our kids like ruining other people's training experience. But actually, I remember on the way up there was a guy on the phone. Do you remember? He had his phone on and he didn't have like AirPods in. He didn't have like, you know, the phone up to his ear. He just had it full on loudspeaker having a massive conversation on the phone. And I thought, I'm trying to make my kids like sit and be quiet here. And she's 5 years old. And you're there like disturbing everyone's train journey with your really loud phone conversation on loudspeaker.
Yeah, it's just a massively bellend thing to do really, isn't it? Because people have loud conversations so everyone can hear, or they're watching a video on their phone on top whack volume so everybody can hear. I don't know whether it's just a complete lack of self-awareness, but
I feel like it's not good train etiquette. I mean, we don't get the train very often
anywhere, restaurants, anywhere.
Yeah. So then, And then when we got off the tube and we got into London, it was just a nightmare. Again, I was just so busy. Again, like my anxiety levels are just like completely heightened because there's just a hustle and bustle of people everywhere. The roads are really busy and I'm trying to hold the kids' hands, but obviously like they're excited. And oh, I don't know why. I just found it really stressful.
But you did get into it because when we got into the restaurant, well, first of all, we got into the restaurant and we kind of primed our youngest daughter that there might be people dressed up because it was kind of it was linked to the, what's the film called?
Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu Panda premiere was linked to that. So we said to our daughter, there could be people dressed up as in outfits. And we know from previous experience, previous parties we've been to, she hasn't taken that well. She's scared shitless of it. So I thought being a bit older, over five now, might be a bit better. Walked through the front door of there, saw a guy dressed as Poe.
Panda.
Was it Poe?
Yeah, his name, but he's a panda. Yeah. Everyone might think you're talking about the Teletubby babe.
Dressed as a panda. and she just went nuts, didn't she?
Do you know what? I told her, I was like, Ruby, it's just somebody dressed up. Like, you don't need to be frightened. It's just somebody dressed up. And I thought I'd be able to explain that to her now, but no, like, she was physically shaking. Like, her eyes were wide. She was absolutely terrified of this panda. I mean, it was quite big, but she was just terrified. Like, she'd have screamed the place down. Oh, and they were so good though, weren't they? He was like, oh, Poe's gonna go on a break now. So the panda like waddled off and went, and then you could just still tell though, she was just like heightened, nervous about it all.
But imagine being the geezer dressed up like, as Poe. I mean, it's not the greatest job to do, really, is it? You're sweating your absolute nuts off under there. If you think to yourself, at least I'm giving the kids a good time, then our kid comes in, she's absolutely scared shitless of you.
Screaming in his face, yeah. Oh, bless. No, but then it was all right in there. So then we're in the restaurant, the kids had their kids' meals, didn't they? And we had a few wines, whatever, and it was good. And I thought to myself, oh, I'm relaxing now, I'm okay. Like, London isn't that bad. And then we had the journey home. And I'm not going to lie, as far as I'm concerned, this was not, like, this was the worst bit, actually. Like, at least the journey up there, I was semi-holding it together and you were, you know, the one actually being the...
I'd lost the plot.
On the way back, I actually thought Dean was going to blow a gasket. So,
because I think I was having to keep it in so much on the way there because you were like, you were about to blow a gasket. So I was having to try and really force myself to be calm. And then you got so much willpower to do that for so long. And then the kids are like, they weren't being terribly naughty, but they're kids in London on trains.
They're tired. Like, we made them sit.
And yeah. And
we made them sit on a train. Then they had to sit on the tube. Then they had to sit in a restaurant. Then they had to sit on the train on the way back. I just think for them, it was just too much sitting.
And by the time I did kind of... I didn't blow a gasket. I was just, you could tell by my face, I just had enough. By the time I did, they weren't even doing anything that bad. It was just kind of the way back, they were.
But then we get on the train and I'm thinking, that's weird. We've just gone, where did we go? But we went through Surbiton or something. And I was like, we don't normally go through there. So I'm thinking, what? Anyway, slowly, everyone's like getting off the train, but nobody on the train actually communicated with each other, which was, again, like, I'm the kind of person, if I'd have realised and I saw a young family on the train, I'd have told them. So basically there was a tree on the tracks on our route. So whilst we were on the train got diverted. And obviously everyone else is paying attention to the bloody announcements or checking their phones or anything. No, not me. I'm just trying to keep my kids entertained and quiet on the train. Then I suddenly look up and I realise, oh my God, we are literally going in the wrong direction. So I was like, quick, everyone, get off the train. So then we had to get off and then get an Uber. Oh, London is not for me.
Yeah,
it was Aggie
now and again, but
now and again,
give the kids the experience, but nah, not
probably the best bit about the whole experience, because then we were miles away from home, then we had to get in an Uber and then Uber it back. The best bit for me was that they both fell asleep in the Uber and then we transferred them to bed, so I didn't have to do bedtime. Probably the best bit, babe.
Yeah, but then we were so exhausted we just went to bed, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
I like the feeling when you put them to bed and you're like, I've got a couple of hours in to chill. That's a beautiful feeling as a parent. But when you just dump them in bed, you've got to go sleep anyway. It's not quite the same, is it?
No, but I'd still take it anyway. It was good. Okay, so I decided the other day on my Instagram, I thought that I would start a new feature within our podcast, which is basically like I wanted to get other people's questions for Dean. So I went on my Instagram, I did a little story, and I said, like, is there any question you would like to ask Dean? And I am going to ask Dean a question now for what people have chosen. So some of the questions were really funny, actually, and they did make me laugh. But I'm going to go for a semi-sensible one, Dean, today.
Okay.
So this is a question from somebody. They've asked, if you could change one thing about your family unit, good or bad, what would it be?
That's a good question. You not working.
Really?
Yeah, you not working. I love it when you're off. Just because you haven't got the stress of work. And I don't know. Because when you're working, it's a lot harder for me with the kids. You not working is definitely my answer to that. What do you think about that?
I mean, I said...
Is that the right kind of answer to that question?
Yeah, I mean, Dean, there's no right or wrong answer. You can answer how you feel.
That's the first thing that came to my head there.
Yeah, I think I would also, for the kids' sake, definitely like to be around more, to be able to do the school runs, do their hair in the morning, like you're only capable of ponytail and, you know, they want more interesting hairstyles, you know. And
I'm good,
I think,
at that, though. I've mastered it.
Yeah, you mastered the ponytail, but what about French plait, babe? Set yourself a challenge. Yeah, I think I would. Yeah, and I think there's definitely, like, there's clubs they want to do, but they can't do them because I can't facilitate the drop off and pick up and things like that. So I would like to be around for them more. But I also do quite enjoy working.
No, I know, so I need
to get the balance right.
Yeah, no, I know that. I think you're very fulfilled by your work, but also. Yeah.
Why don't I work full time and you can be a stay-at-home parent?
Yeah, from a selfish point of view.
Yeah, you just skate over that.
Yeah, from a selfish point of view, probably you not working, but I guess you are fulfilled by your job, so maybe you wouldn't be as happy. But then again, the 6 weeks holiday, you seem quite happy in the summer.
Yeah, I am. But I'm also, like, even...
But then again, you know you're going back to work and you've got that, yeah.
And even the caravan now, so obviously, like I said at the start, we're in the middle of our two-week caravan holiday in Wales. A part of me is looking forward to going back to work because at least at work, there's children... I'm a teacher. There's children that listen to me and I do get some adult contact and I'm just... I would find it really intense to be with my kids 24/7. Like, hats off to any mum out there who is a full-time, you know, stay-at-home mum and also those parents that homeschool as well. And just don't, like, I love my children. Obviously, I'd die for my kids. I love them. But I do need a break.
Would you die for me?
Absolutely, babes. That's a weird question. You're so strange. All right, and then one other question, which I don't really understand. And I'm sorry if I get the names wrong, but I feel like he really wants to know the answer. David Moyes or Sam
Allardyce?
Yeah, him. Is that a football question?
Neither.
Oh.
Actually, David Moyes. I mean, yeah, of course, David Moyes.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to answer the question properly.
All right, go on in.
I know you're not interested in football.
Absolutely,
but
zero interest.
People listening might be interested.
What, so in your team, in West Ham?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, there are not very many of you
David
out there.
David Moyes, largely David Moyes, still bores the life out of me, but he's got results. So, yeah, David Moyes. Sam Allardyce is good at keeping you up. That's about it.
Keeping you up? Oh, I don't understand this football talk, babe. You'll have to leave that for another time. Yeah, it's not a bit of me. I don't really understand.
Okay.
All right, cheers. Okay, so last question. From the responses I got off Instagram, which is interesting. Does Dean want to be famous?
Does Dean want to be famous? No. I love making the content. I love doing the videos. What I love about it is I love when I make a video and people laugh. That gives me the most satisfaction. I've always liked people making people laugh. But in terms of... And I'm not saying I walk out the front door and I've got hordes of people, not at all. But it's the odd time when someone's pulled me on the street and said, look, can I have a photo or whatever, I find that really awkward because naturally I'm more introverted. So that doesn't come easy to me, that part at all. And like if we've been invited somewhere, an event, I crawl back into my shell a bit. So it is nice when people come up to you, but in terms of fame, no, not at all.
Yeah, so I mean, I can actually one of these stories.
How
really
red do I go when people come up to me?
Yeah, no, but it's not just the redness. So there was this one time when we were in Worthing Pier. I don't know why we were in Worthing Pier, but we were down in Worthing Pier and we were with Dean's mum and dad, and I knew instantly we were in an arcade.
Oh, I wanted to die then. Yeah.
We were in an arcade on Worthing Pier, and I was talking to his mum, and I just looked over at Dean, and Dean was talking to these like random people, and he was bright red like a tomato, and I could just tell by his face. But I knew the reason I really knew is because when you're nervous, you play with your willy.
Yeah, no.
So we're in like this kids' arcade on this pier, and Dean is talking to some people he's just met, and there he is, bright red like a tomato, and then he's got his thumb and his index finger, and he's just like pinching and playing with his willy because he's nervous.
That is a known natural thing for a guy.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, I just never know what to say, because people go, oh, I love your videos. I'm like, you know, thank you.
And then you just think, oh, I'll just play with my willy because I feel awkward.
I don't know I'm doing that. For any other guy that plays their willy when they're nervous, they will tell you that it is a nervous thing. You don't even know you're touching. You go to me, can you stop touching? I'm like, am I? My just must be so big. I just can't get my hands off it.
Oh, for God's sake, maracas, stop yourself. Jesus, potty talk all the time.
So what else have we been doing the last couple of weeks? So we've had Daisy's first ever school trip. She's 9, so it's first ever school trip.
Residential school trip, sorry, yeah. So that's when they stay over. So she's been on school trips, but yeah, this was the residential, and I mean, she was incredibly nervous, wasn't she?
No, you were. Was she?
Yeah, she was incredible. She was talking to me about it a lot, like the lead up to it and stuff. And
I thought she seemed a couple of days before, or at least the morning of it, really excited.
Oh yeah, definitely. No, she was definitely excited as well. But I think there was also elements of nerves out there for her. And I think for it helped her, the fact that I am a teacher. And like last year, I went on the year 6 residential school trip. I went with my school. So she has known about them, and she does know that they happen and like all that. But year 4, I don't know. I always went when I was at school. We went in year 6. I don't know. Year 4, is that normal?
Can't remember. I do remember year 6 one.
Yeah.
But I can't remember.
Anyway, yeah, well, she went, but she was incredibly nervous. And I just decided to do like a little poll on Instagram, because me and Dean's view on this school trip, so I was probably pandering to her a bit, wasn't I? And I was like,
yeah, but you're really nervous. The mums usually do.
I was like, oh, I'm really nervous about her. No, because she was nervous about going. And I'll tell you how I knew she was nervous about going, is they had like a meeting at the school, right? And all the parents go to the meeting just to ask questions about the trip, get the kit list and like all that stuff. And I couldn't go because I was at work. And I just, you know, said to the teacher, email me the PowerPoint. Like, I thought that'd be fine. And Daisy that night was really upset with me that I was the only parent that didn't go to this meeting about the school trip. And I don't believe that I was the only parent. At least I hope I wasn't. God. And that night, she had one of her night terrors. That night.
Yeah.
So basically, for any parents out there who have a child who has night terrors, or if you don't, I mean, they're quite freaky, aren't they?
They're all right now because we're used to it. But the first 2 or 3 she had, we were like, she's basically talking to you with her eyes open, like crying and screaming, but she isn't awake and she has no recollection of the next day. Like, you speak to her next day, she's like, what? And
yeah.
Like, but for us, she's like up talking and she's... Yeah.
I mean, sometimes she's even made it down the stairs, hasn't she? Like, we've been sitting watching telly and then she just comes in with her eyes open, like screaming and crying. And we're like, oh, my God.
I mean, first couple of times I was Googling all sorts of things. You just don't know what's going on. But then you find out it's just night terrors really common. And, yeah, since doing the page and that, you realise so many kids have that, don't they?
Yeah, I think that is definitely a positive of social media and even things, platforms like these, podcasts, anything. As long as people are being honest and saying what actually happens in their lives, it's really helpful, because sometimes you can feel quite alone with things. Mm. Like, I know when Daisy was growing up particularly, I felt really alone with her fussy eating, which I know we've already addressed on here in the past.
She's got a few kinks old days, isn't she?
She has. But often I'd feel really alone with them, and I'd look over at children eating in a restaurant, like just eating a bowl of spaghetti bolognese, and I'd feel jealous and I'd be thinking, why can't my kid just do that? But actually, having people message me all the time, you know, their kid's got a beige diet or their kids only eat this food and that food, it does make me feel a bit better. I'm not alone.
Yeah. That's where social media is changing a little bit. The platform is changed. It used to be all about, there is still a lot of boasting in that, but now it's more about relatable stuff, which is actually helpful.
I think it's much more attractive for someone to be humble than it is for someone to be showing off, like, look what I've got. Definitely. Yeah. Anyway, so she went on the school trip, didn't she? She had a great time. And you had the privilege of waving her off.
Oh, it was just so funny. It was so funny. We had, like, there was parents just lying in the street waving this coach off. You couldn't even see inside the coach because there were blacked out windows. I think the kids could see us, but we couldn't see them. And I remember just standing, I was having a laugh on the other day, just standing there thinking, it's like we're waving them off to war for 12 months. They were literally, honestly, they were going two junctions down the M25. I put it in my map. They were 39 minutes away.
See, I had massive mum guilt about not being able to wave her off. So obviously I forced Dean to make sure that he waved her off. And I think it means the world to them waving them off. I think you're a bit of a grumpy dad, Dean, there.
No, I do. I do. I think she liked it, but I don't know. Is it toughening them up? I don't know. I think it's a minor thing. I think if one of us didn't do it, she'd have been upset. So I think it was worth doing.
There you go. You love it, really.
I find all that, again, just a bit awkward. Like, I find standing... I like some of the parents, don't get me wrong, but I don't know them all that well, do I? And I find that quite awkward, standing with...
That's because you're not friendly in the playground, babes. You just get in, put your head down, pick up the kids and get out.
That's not because I don't want to be friendly. That's a misconception, I think, of dads who just stand on their own in the playground. I want to be friendly. I want to have chats. I just don't necessarily know how to instigate it that well with people I don't know. If I know someone in there, you know, it's easy. But making small talk with people I don't know, I don't find that easy at all. I know you do. God, you'd talk to you'd go in there and talk to the bloody playground apparatus, you would. You're just so much more extroverted than I am. And I try and be more extroverted, but it doesn't come naturally to me at all. I'm naturally more introverted, definitely. Like, even on like our Wales trip we're on now, you would socialise every single night, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Whereas, so an extrovert loves socialising, it gives them more energy. Whereas an introvert, like sort of me, that would suck their energy. So, like, if I have two nights socialising, I always say to you, no more tonight. And you're like... What's up with you? What's up with you? Yeah, get out of wine. And you are.
Yeah. I just love it down the caravan as well, because everyone's always doing something. You know, like, there's a bonfire on the beach tonight, or we're going to go to the pub, or we're going to have a games night in this caravan, or we're going to do that. Just love it. It's a holiday. Yeah. It's a holiday. So going back to Daisy's school trip. So on my Instagram, I did a poll, basically. So I just wanted to gauge out there with parents, if they wanted their kids to go on a school trip or how they'd feel about it, because me and Dean were a bit indifferent. I was a bit like, oh, I'm really going to miss her. And Dean was like, literally, she's going to be fine. So there was three choices. So there was a choice of, yes, a few days child-free, or, oh, I'm going to miss my baby. And then there's a third option of they just wouldn't go. So I was quite surprised at it. So I was in the majority. So 53% of people said, oh, I'm going to miss my baby. So that's the category I'd say I'm in. I would say the second one was 35%. And then it was, yes, a few days child free. That was 35%. And then, 12% of parents did message to say that their kids wouldn't go, which is, I think that's fine. That's a complete, you know your child best. And maybe they've got additional needs and they're not going. Maybe you're not comfortable with it. Maybe your child doesn't want to go. Like, that's fine.
But there's lots of different reasons why you want your child to go. But there was a few comments about...
I mean, they're probably not the kind of people that would listen to our podcast. But if any of the people out there that decided to feel the need on day one of my daughter's school trip, her residential, and I was already feeling a bit anxious, to message me the dangers of paedophiles and big long essays about the fact that I could be putting my daughter in the hands of paedophiles... thank you very much, but I found that incredibly unhelpful. So, thanks.
But you never really worried about that.
No, I didn't. I've been on a school trip. If anything, I think the teacher in me was really offended.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, well, I took a group of kids away last year and we had a great time. Anyway, she came back buzzing. So for us, I think, as a family, and for Daisy as our daughter, I think we made the right decision sending her. I think we prepped her. You know, I gave her a suitcase, packed to the brim with everything. And she did. She came back buzzing.
Absolutely. There's no way she wouldn't go just because it's a growing... They grow from it. They've got to have experiences away from us. They've got to be able to... That's a growing experience for Daisy. She'll come back... probably a better person from going for stuff like that. Of course they will.
I mean, I'm glad it was only 2 days because she did come back starving and exhausted.
Yeah, I know. She doesn't eat. Well, she does eat, but she wouldn't eat necessarily what they would give her.
No. But I just appreciate it. Like, you know, the fact that she's got such a small little village primary school with such, you know, a nurturing staff, and we know the staff really, really well. I was really grateful, you know, that they took her, because a lot of people don't realise, and this isn't the teacher in me, the teachers don't get paid overtime for their trips. These trips, these residentials, they're doing it out of the goodness of their little volunteering hearts. So thank you to the staff at Daisy's primary school, if you're listening. Although I kind of do hope that staff from her primary school don't listen to this podcast.
So we mentioned that our kids might have a few little kinks, and one of them is fear of dogs.
Is that the right saying, Dean? A few little kinks?
No.
Isn't it a few little quirks?
Little quirks, yeah, maybe. I maybe got it wrong, yeah, quirk. And that's the fear of dogs, isn't it?
What is... Oh, well, Daisy's other... I don't think Daisy's fear of dogs is necessarily a quirk. I think it's a... I think it's a general phobia.
Yeah.
I think she's terrified.
Yeah.
Not... Well, no... This is where it's interesting. So I'd say Daisy, so she's our eldest, she's kind of growing out of it. And now Ruby's in the midst of it.
Is it learnt behaviour?
Probably, because, I mean, I grew up being very scared of dogs. So my mum said I was bitten by a dog when I was 2. And I just never got over it. Always got really scared.
Because I was terrified of dogs as a kid as well. Absolutely terrified. Just, I remember... seeing one coming towards me, that would be my biggest fear. And I didn't really let on too much. I wasn't like our kids. Like, well, our kids make it known they're scared of them, yeah. Put it that way. Whereas I was always trying to not brave it up, but yeah, I used to be really terrified of dogs.
But I think I definitely was conscious of it when the kids were young, though, because if you have a fear, like you're scared of spiders, and you put that fear onto the kids massively. And I was definitely like, I tried really hard, like with dogs in parks and with other people's dogs. I do try, but for me, it is just fake. It is just false. It's just not something that I'm used to. I didn't grow up with kids, or that I enjoy. Grew up with dogs, but it's just not something that, like, for me, I enjoy. I don't know. But I really, really try to make them be better. Like the other day at the caravan, we spent some time with a couple down our caravan and they had a dog. And I'm not going to take Ruby out of that situation and completely shelter her and avoid her. But do you know what made such a difference is the fact that the dog owners were so good with her. They knew straight away, right, okay, Ruby's obviously wary. She's not 100% here. And they let her like build up her kind of interactions with the dog. And by the end of it, in their caravan, later on in the day, just within 4 or 5 hours, Ruby's got the dog. She's feeding it treats, cuddling it, stroking it, and she was fine.
Yeah.
She just needed that like level of reassurance.
Yeah. But then sees a dog like the next day and she won't be fine, because it's a slow process, isn't it? It's that slow...
Yeah, I mean, I remember being 14, 15 and staying at one of my friend's houses. This is pathetic. I remember being 14, 15. I can't believe I did this. And I remember staying at my friend's house and she had a dog and it was just like a chocolate Labrador. Like, it wasn't going to hurt me. But I was so terrified. We were basically having a sleepover. And I woke up my friend and made her come to the toilet with me in the middle of the night because I was so scared about crossing the dog, like on the landing or in the hall or something. I mean... That was the level of fear I had.
Because when we go somewhere that could potentially be a lot of dog walkers, like let's say Collie Hill where we live,
yeah.
So that's a nice walk, isn't it, for us? But we sometimes you'll go, I don't think we should do it because there's just so many dogs up there. And I'm always a bit like, I think we just need to take them up there because...
yes, I know,
They need it. Like, and you always say to me, well, you don't go up to the loft to expose yourself to spiders. No, that's true. That's true. So I just
can I just say I have a husband that doesn't go in the loft, the shed, under the stairs, or like pretty much anywhere. So I have to do all those things.
I am absolutely petrified of spiders. Oh, man. There's no fear worse.
Yeah, so imagine around going around somebody's house and they say to you, oh, don't worry, it's a nice spider. Don't worry, it won't hurt you. Yet the spider is like crawling all around your legs and maybe jumping up on your knee. How would you feel?
The difference I would say is being fearful of spiders doesn't affect my life as much as my kids being affected by dogs because I can quite...
It affects my life. I've got to go in the loft every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Back in the shed. Sarah, can you get this out the shed for me?
How often do we come in contact with spiders? It's quite easy avoidable. You go in the shed for me, not really a big deal, is it? But with our kids... Lots of people got dogs, we know lots of our friends, and sometimes we're even hesitant to go over because it's like we know what's coming, isn't it?
I think normally though they do, as long as the dog owner is understanding, because for Daisy, she openly admits, like Daisy does, once she's got through that first 2 minutes, you know, when you arrive and you ring on the doorbell and the dog like goes mad and starts barking and runs at the door and gets excited, which obviously is fair enough, that's fine, but it's that when you open the door, if the dog's jumping up, even me, I don't like it. I don't want to open the door and have a dog jump up at me. I don't want that. I don't like that. I have been bitten by a dog and it stayed with me and it stuck with me. And I don't know, like you were just saying about Collie Hill, for example, yeah? So I saved.
How emotional you're getting about this.
Emotional about this. I'm like, oh my God, I saved and saved for a new barber coat, right? And all right, for some of you, that might not be a designer coat. But for me, I was really excited to have my nice new barber coat. Went in a walk up Collie Hill.
Fresh.
Some irresponsible dog owner comes, you know, the dog, I even spotted it. I saw it. I thought it was going to come running towards me. And Ruby was there. And I was thinking to myself, oh my God. So I was like, and I knew it was coming. And lo and behold, the dog jumped up on me. And then the belt loop, whatever it is that you put your belt through on your coat, ripped it. Fucking ripped it. New £200 coat. I never spent £200 on anything. And I bought this new coat. And I was so annoyed. And the dog owner just went kind of like, oh, sorry. And just walked off. And I was like, oh my God, no.
Yeah, but that's why I said at the start of this conversation, is it learned behaviour? Because I think sometimes your energy is... Because now I'm not scared of dogs at all. I'm fine, absolutely fine with them. But your energy still gives off that a bit. And I feel like...
Yeah, but do you know what
I'm not saying
happens,
it's your fault. I'm just... Well,
I know. But do you know what then happens?
Maybe I am.
Is, like, for example, I have this conversation with a lot of people a lot because it does come up, you know, like we go into the park or we go to the beach, whatever. And I do feel the need to have to explain to people, oh, they are just a bit scared. They'll be fine. They will be fine. They just need like half an hour just to make sure, like, you can tell me that your dog isn't going to bite them or your dog's not going to do anything or your dog's not going to jump on you. You can tell me that, but they need to believe it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You can say it, but they need to see it. Anyway, when I've been talking about it a lot, like, for example, today we've been talking about it, I talk about it a lot, the algorithm on my phone. You know, there's that theory that your phone is listening to you, and I'm sure phones are listening to you all the time, and I don't know, can you turn it off? Is there a way? If anyone knows a way that I can turn it off, my phone listening to me, it'd be great. But now that you've had a conversation about something, and then my phone, I'll go on like Instagram or Facebook or something, and then the adverts and the articles it's showing me are all about like bloody kids that have been mauled to death by dogs or like dog attacks and all stuff like that, because my phone is listening to me, and then it's getting even worse. It's like being thrown in my face.
That's one of the dangers of social media. It's like an echo chamber. So you believe something and it just feeds you the more of that stuff. So you believe that that's the more of a problem than it is. Like if you Google shark attacks, social media will start feeding you more of it. So you start thinking they're rife. Whereas if you look at stats, or if you look at stats of dog attacks, it's nothing. So,
but more people in the UK, Dean, will die from a dog attack than a spider. Just saying, you're scared of spiders. When I say Dean's scared of spiders, I mean like tiny little piddly ones. And I love to go on the wind-up with him. You know, when you catch it like under the glass, I always like threaten to throw it at him.
Oh, yeah. Like if I have to go in a shed and I have to find something that's like under a few bits.
You have to go in a shed. You never go in the shed.
I'll go in there if I can just like peep my hand in and just sort of grab it out and run. But if I have to like pull something up that I know there's going to be like there's real potential for a spider, there's no way I'm doing that.
No chance. Not happening.
No.
Oh, come on, babe. You need to get past it. That's what I need to do. I need to set you a challenge of going in the shed and getting something right from the bottom of the back of the shed. Up for it?
No. Even watching you, when you went up to the loft when you were 9 months pregnant.
Oh.
And it's not like a stair loft, our one. You don't get stairs down it. We have to get a little step ladder. I have to go up two of the steps, and Sarah has to jump on my shoulders to go up there. I weren't proud of myself at all, but the fear of me spiders, it's better off me just losing my ego and sending you up there.
Yeah, Yeah, my mum was absolutely furious with you. Like, she wasn't even jokingly furious either. She was absolutely pissed off at him. I can't believe
your mum gets a mention every episode.
Oh, I love my mum. Big up Kazza. I just can't believe you've told people that story. I feel like you're gonna get abused for that, Dean. Because you know what he did? Now we're on the story. So I had to climb up his back onto his shoulders, 9 months pregnant, and hoist myself up into the loft hatch to get a load of stuff out of the loft. Dangerous, Dean.
I'm strong. So I was there to help.
I don't get you sometimes. Yeah, that's going to be your New Year's resolution next year, Dean. Go in the loft, go in the shed. You've got this. Maybe we should get him hypnotised. Would you be up for that?
No.
Maybe that's what we should do. We should, like, follow the journey. I'll get hypnotised for dogs and you can get hypnotised for spiders and see if it actually works.
Don't believe in it.
Oh, for God's sake.
I don't believe in hypnotism. I believe in exposure. I would get over my fear of spiders if I had one and I stroked it all the time or touched it or whatever. Stroked, God almighty. Or had it in my hand. After a while, I would desensitize the spider. That's how you deal with stuff like that, in my opinion.
All right. Well, when I next find a spider, I'll make sure I keep it and I'll pop it on your hand for a little bit of exposure. Okay. You got this. So the last thing that we were going to chat about today is, I'm so proud of them. The girls did a little gymnastics competition, didn't they? I was so proud of them. And it was so sweet. It was just like a little gymnastics competition with their gymnastics club.
Their first ever one.
They were so nervous as well. And really, really proud of them. Like, just loved it, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, I just love the fact they put a lot of, well, let's say Daisy especially, she just put a lot of, they were both quite nervous, because even Ruby was saying to us that she was quite nervous before it, so they were nervous, and they just put a lot of effort into it, and they honestly tried. I know this whole cliche about trying your best is all the most important things, not winning, but it's...
It is about winning.
Yeah, no. It's look, if I'm watching my kids in a gymnastic competition, I want them to win. I won't tell them they've got to win, or I won't even try and mention the result too much to them. But when I was watching that gymnastic competition, there was kids, 4 years old, 5 years old, and I wanted them to fall off the balance beam. Obviously, I would, because that would... They were going to lose points and more chance of my daughter winning. I was inwardly hoping for that to happen. Obviously, they weren't going to get injured, so, you know, it's not bad.
Are you sure you weren't wishing for them broken bones and broken hearts, broken legs?
And some of them, I was watching these judges were quite young girls as well. They were like, what, teenagers, the judges on?
Some of them, yeah.
And I kept watching them to make sure that they were judging it, like really watching every act, not every act, routine, to make sure they were accurately judging it. I was getting really up for it. So I thought it was just me, and I looked at your face and you were worse. You were going to me, Dean, what do you think of her? Is she any good? Like, what, wouldn't you?
I just really wanted them to do well. I wanted them to enjoy themselves. I wanted them to do well for them. And they have got this, like, competitive instinct and this competitive drive, which they probably do get from us, you know, because I'd say we are quite competitive people. But I'm just quite grateful. I just remember sitting there after the event. They both got bronze, didn't they? Thank the Lord, because Ruby got bronze first. I don't quite know how, but she did.
And she's naturally good. She just way with the fairies when she was doing the routine. She
didn't listen. Yeah. But yeah, no, and they did. I was really, really proud of them. But I just remember thinking to myself, I'm so glad right now that we are like gymnastics parents and not like football mums. Obviously, a lot of the mums from the school, no. Those people out there who are football mums and they go in their big coats and their, what are those jackets called that everyone has?
It's fashion, the dry robes. I don't have a clue.
All right. Anyway, the dry
robe. That's a.
Yeah, they wear them. Okay. Anyway, and you go and you watch the kids. I mean, that is dedication to your child, going and sitting in a rainy field and watching that. And I can see some of these mums, the football mums, I think they're more passionate. Like, we held it in. Like, we're in like a enclosed, quiet gymnastics.
Football's
kind of
a lot more
room.
Emotional.
Yeah.
A lot more emotional.
Can you imagine if we're getting like that about a gymnastics routine, what these parents are getting, like football and rugby or whatever?
Because, well, Daisy likes football, really likes, and she's quite good. She's quite good. Yeah, she is.
Okay.
So I know you're not. I went and got her some boots, didn't I? And got her a kit and everything. She's been out in the garden playing loads, and she's, I really want to foster that. Obviously, you can't force them, but I do believe you need. They sometimes need a bit of a shove, don't they, in this direction to get them to actually do the stuff. Like you think you know what I mean? Do you think you need?
Yeah, you definitely. Yeah, we have to encourage and support them, or they wouldn't do any clubs. Like I feel really bad sometimes that I'm working. There's certain clubs they want to do, and I can't facilitate the drop off and the pickup.
No, but if they don't want to do it,
they don't want to do it. I mean, there's times where Daisy said in the past she doesn't want to do gymnastics, but I think that's just more of a, oh, I've had a busy week, I'm tired, I'm a bit grumpy, but she definitely loves it.
Because Daisy is a good dancer. Well, she's quite a naturally good singer and dancer, isn't she? She'd done the talents contest at her school and won that. She's quite naturally good at it, but she doesn't want to join any clubs associated with that. And I've had this debate on my Instagram before.
And she's good. No.
I feel like she just needs a little bit of a push. Like, I've done this debate before on Instagram where people have said, don't push your kids. You wait for them to tell you to do. But I think it depends on the kid often. I think if we didn't say to our kids, do this, they wouldn't try anything, would they?
Yeah.
I think sometimes with sport and competition that you've got to...
But it's interesting you say that, because do you think, are all parents like this? Are all parents secretly wishing for their child to win like us?
No.
Or do you reckon there's parents out there that are literally just like, oh, well done for participating, like, well done.
Yeah, of course. Some people aren't competitive. I don't get that. I'm even if I have a ping pong competition at home when I'm drunk, I want to win that. Like, I want to win everything, but that's just my natural competitor.
So what do you think about the sports days when everyone gets a sticker, like, just for competing?
No.
What do you think it should be, first, second, third?
Yeah. Kids need to understand winning. They need to understand stuff like that. That it drives me nuts. And I feel like someone who wins puts a lot of effort in. Yeah, they might be more naturally gifted at that, but they should be rewarded for that.
So do you think you should have been rewarded for your efforts in Daisy's nursery parent race?
No.
Oh, my God. So Dean did what is every parent's worst nightmare. He was peer pressured by Daisy to get up and do the parent race, right? And I just knew, like, he's so competitive, he just wanted to win, right? Anyway, so they do the whole lot on your mark.
Didn't have the right trainers.
They do the whole new Oxy set go thing. And I've got this on film somewhere. I've got this on video. And he goes to start running. And he just falls. And he doesn't just fall. He, like, falls and somersaults. And he's got up. And he's got grass stains all over him. And literally every parent there was just like, oh.
That walk back was dreadful. I think I took it pretty well, to be honest. But I was easily the best candidate. I was easily going to win that. I just tried to...
I don't know what you did, but you literally went arse over tit and just fell.
Just the wrong trainers. There was a little bit of dew on the grass.
Always blaming the track.
There's a little bit of dew on the grass.
Oh, mate, you just stacked it. Didn't you?
Yeah.
Brilliant. I need to dig that out, that video. That is one. That is a good video.
I've posted that on social media before.
Oh, have you? Oh, you'll have to dig it out and share that again when sports days come around. Brilliant.
All you can hear is Daisy laugh in the background.
Oh, can't you? She didn't even care for you.
No, she's laughing at me.
Oh.
Like, if my dad had fallen over in a race, I think I'd have been quite upset for him. Kids nowadays, God, they have way less respect for their parents, don't they? But that's probably for another conversation.
Yeah. And we managed to avoid the mental load argument today as well. I feel it is brewing, though. Like, even getting ready this morning, I was like, my mental load was far bigger than yours. But I'm not getting into it now, Dean. It is one for another day. No, I'm not getting into that now.
Yeah, but yeah, I did my fair share this morning.
No. I was far more stressed this morning. We're not getting into it now.
Yeah,
we'll definitely end up having a row on the podcast. When we finally address this mental load conversation, we will end up having a Barney on the podcast.
Maybe. Good viewing, though.
Yeah. Right, anyway, we better get back to the caravan, back to the kids. So thank you so much. If you've made it to the end of our podcast and listening, we really appreciate you all. Thank you. And I hope you all have a good few weeks.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening.